You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're a furry.
That's amazing. I didn't hear that.
So, yeah, you miss a lot of the show. A lot of the funny stuff, apparently. So, hey, Dodgers looking good right now. 3 out of 4 from the Padres. Beat the Rockies last night. And Trace Thompson's first home run at Dodger Stadium in 6 years.
Taylor's right at first. 3-2. Ripped to deep left field. The ball's gone. Trace Thompson, 3-run home run.
And Trace is batting .286 now, 2 homers, 8 RBIs, and an .885 OPS. So the Dodgers have now opened up a 4.5-game lead on San Diego in the National League West after beating them 3 out of 4 over the weekend. The big issue with the Dodgers, and by the way, they've got 50 wins now, by a half game, best record in the National League, overall 3rd-best record in Major League Baseball after the Yankees and the Astros, Astros have 52 wins. Kimbrel is currently 1-4 with a 4.78 ERA. This is Craig Kimbrel, their closer.
He was awful on Sunday.
A 1.52 whip, 28 hits, 12 walks, and he's allowed allowed against 41 strikeouts in 26 innings. So he's still striking guys out. He's 14 of 17 in save opportunities. John, if you're Dave Roberts, what do you do with Craig Kimbrel?
Stop running him out there. I mean, you got to try other people. When he came in on Sunday, he reminds me of when Kenley Jansen was struggling. I don't know if Kimbrel has lost his confidence or lost his fastball or what it is, but they're hitting him hard. And I would quit putting him out there.
I would not. I agree with Dave Roberts, who says, let's see, this is the direct quote. He's not even considering taking the closer tag off Kimbrel, who's in his ERA over 17 appearances, 6.62. Look, they're not getting anywhere without Craig Kimbrel. They have bet big on Craig Kimbrel. And there's no other obvious, with Daniel Hudson out and with Blake Treinen out,
when
there's
is
no
Treinen
other
scheduled to return?
It's mysterious. We don't have a return date. Bergman, I've heard late in the season, though.
Yeah, if he's going to come back, it's going to be late, like August, September-ish.
And I don't see another great closer arm in that pen.
Well, here's the thing. He's not going to pitch tonight. They said they're giving him a few days off.
Yeah, that's good.
So he'll bring Gratterall in. Let's see what he's got. I mean, the thing about Gratterall is, though, is they make a lot of contact off him,
too. They make
too.
A ton of contact off him, which I hate.
So can I throw some
tends to be
you?
Ground balls.
Yeah,
but
what?
So what do you think of it? Dustin May is supposed to come back after the All-Star break.
Supposed to, yeah.
So at some point, so maybe by the end of July. Would you throw Dustin May into the closer role? Even though you kind of need
no.
him in the starter.
No.
But he's got great movement, speed,
well, the year
velocity,
the Dodgers won the World
thing.
Series, they put Urias in
right.
that role. Now, I think he's too valuable as a starter to do that, but
sure
I don't
is.
Hate your
yeah.
Dustin May idea. He throws
well,
he throws 100 miles an hour, which right. is what you need for a closer.
But that doesn't,
he's
give,
just
us
coming
an,
off
that doesn't
surgery.
Give us an answer tonight.
Well, no, not tonight.
Well,
but
they'll use Gratterall tonight yeah. just because they have to.
Gratterall's got a 3.65 ERA.
Yeah,
he's
but Kimbrel's is twice that. Kimbrel's ERA
is 4.78, and Gratterall's 3.85.
Well, I mean, so what the 6-point-something is just over the last 2 weeks?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Over the last 2 weeks. He's definitely awful right now. There's no question. But if you're Dave Roberts and you got 50 wins and you got a 4.5-game lead in the West, I go right back to him because I got to get Craig Kimbrel right. He can be a dominating closer. And with him, they can win a World Series. Without him, I don't know.
But like 3-4 years ago, he was a dominant closer.
Yeah, I agree with you.
He hasn't been a dominant closer since he was in Atlanta.
He had 1 year, that 1 year, was it last year, where he pitched half the season for the Cubs, half the season for the White Sox?
Yeah, and he was great with the Cubs.
He was okay.
He was okay. Well, then they moved him to the White Sox, moved him to the eighth inning role because they didn't like him in the closer role, and he got blown up in there.
And I think that's where this is heading. I can see him being an eighth inning guy moving forward.
Yeah, but
forward.
I mean, let's be honest. 2021, with the Cubs, he was 2-3 with a .49 ERA. He can obviously still pitch. He did go to the White Sox, as you pointed out, and got blown up. He had a .456 ERA. But he was great with the Cubs before getting traded at the deadline last year.
Let's talk about Trace Thompson for a second. So you mentioned he's hitting .286.
Yeah.
He hit the big home run last night. Is it as simple as when everybody's healthy? Now, you know, Mookie was hurt. Now Chris Taylor's hurt.
Correct.
That there's no room at the end for Trace.
Correct. I think he's a fourth outfielder.
No, but a fourth outfielder can stay.
Yeah, no.
But I'm talking about whether or not he can stay.
Oh, 885 OPS, he absolutely can stay. I mean, he's hit with great success. There's no reason to do anything with
Whose spot on the roster is he taking?
He's taking that Jake Lamb or that
McKinstry.
Kevin
or
Pillar there for a while.
Yeah.
McKinstry. He's taking one of those guys' spots. I think that Trace has proven here, at least in the early going, that he absolutely belongs. You know, I don't know if you read what Dylan Hernandez said over the weekend. Dylan was talking about the Freddie Freeman thing. And I think he makes good points here. I think he makes good points. His basic point is grow up. That's actually his basic point. If I was to summarize his point to Freddie Freeman. He says, the story of his divorce with the Atlanta Braves won't die because the image-conscious part of him is determined to rewrite history. His tear-stained efforts to continue playing the victim, revealing him to be the archetype of the entitled athlete. Freeman has spent the last 3 months on a bizarre public relations campaign to convince Atlanta fans that he didn't leave the Braves for money, even though he's now playing for the Dodgers because his former team wouldn't give him the kind of deal he wanted. This is a classic case of wanting it both ways. In this particular instance, of wanting both the security of the six-year deal with the Dodgers and the adoration he once enjoyed with the Braves.
I
think that's a totally fair characterization.
I don't.
Really?
And here's where I would disagree with Dylan. Freddie Freeman spent 12 years in Atlanta.
Yep.
All evidence seems to indicate he would have liked to continue there. And somewhere along the way, somebody stopped telling the truth, whether it be the agent, whether it be the Braves, whether it be Freeman. I don't know. Somebody's not telling the truth because why would he fire his agents when he goes back to Atlanta and talks to the Braves, and then the end result of that is I'm firing my agent? Something happened. And I think we have to allow for Freddie to react to that and deal with it. If my agent or your agent withheld an offer from us, and Casey Close, the agent, swears he didn't.
Right.
But or if the Braves didn't make a competitive offer to keep Freeman. They obviously told Freddie this a couple weeks ago they did. But that would be upsetting, especially if him and his family wanted to stay in Atlanta. And I have no problem with him being upset. Here's the thing, Mace. I mean, I know everybody is, you know, calling Freeman a baby and saying
he's lucky
crying.
He's hitting.
Right. That's where I was going.
Yeah.
Whatever this is, it's not affecting his play.
Correct.
He's killing the ball. So more drama if Freddie's going to play like this. Bring it on.
Yeah, Freddie Freeman's 302, 10 homers, and 50 RBIs. So, yeah, he's tearing it up. Wins above replacement, 2.6. Who do you think's got the best wins above replacement on the Dodgers?
On the Dodgers?
Yeah.
Will Smith? Trey Turner?
I would guess Trey Turner.
It's still Mookie.
Oh, wow.
It's still Mookie. He's got a 3 wins above replacement. By the way, I was looking at it last night. I think there's a pretty good case that Will Smith should be on the All-Star team. 13 homers, 40 or so RBIs, one of the most consistent and reliable hitters the Dodgers have got, especially in the middle of the lineup. He's batting about .270. Don't you think that's all-star worthy, especially when you consider what other catchers around the league are producing offensively?
Well, Mookie's going to make it.
Yes.
Trey Turner's going to make
it. Tony Gonsolin's
probably going to start.
Yep.
What about Anderson?
It's a really tough call.
If it came down to Anderson or Will Smith, who deserves it more? Isn't Anderson like
Anderson's 9-1 with a .309 ERA? I don't know where we'd be without him.
So between the two of them, those guys are 19-1. Anderson and Gonsolin. who are supposed to be the back end of the rotation, are 19-1, right?
Yes.
I think Anderson deserves it more than Will Smith. Now, maybe you could take them both. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe you could take them both.
Yeah, I'm looking up numbers for catchers in the National League right now, and Wilson Contreras is having a better year.
Yeah, Wilson Contreras, but you can't just go with one catcher. Wilson Contreras is on one of my fantasy teams, and it's tearing up. But, I mean, you still need more than one catcher.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's, I mean, other guys like Travis d'Arnaud is having a pretty good year. Dalton Varsho from Arizona is having a good year. But I'm with you. Will Smith is one of the best, if not the best, catcher in all of baseball.
Yeah, there are very few guys that would take over Will Smith at catcher. Contreras may be the lone exception to that. Did you see the Joey Chestnut hot dog?
I saw highlights of it. I didn't sit through it.
So apparently he decked some guy in the middle of it. Did you see that?
A protester,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. What was the guy protesting? I didn't understand the sign or what he was doing, but Joey Chestnut. I'll tell you, that is like one of America's most disgusting traditions, the hot dog eating contest every 4th of July. It's absolutely disgusting. We should not encourage people to be involved
in... What are you talking about? You and Sliwa did the exact same thing.
As a way to sort of mock it and make fun of it.
No, that wasn't it.
What are you shaking?
You were so competitive about it.
I was. Yeah, oh, no. Exactly. There's no question.
It wasn't disgusting when you were doing it.
But you shouldn't be proud of eating a million hot dogs or whatever the hell Joey Chestnut ate. I know he detaches his jaw and just shoves hot dogs down his face.
Is competitive eating a sport?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Absolutely. You have to train for it all year long. Like this
okay,
is
how do
something
you train
you just,
for it?
Yeah. What do you do?
You have eating.
Do you think Joey Chestnut eats hot dogs? He's so skinny. He doesn't eat hot dogs all year long. He just saves up and then eats hot dogs on one day. He's skinny.
He's a professional.
How can he be eating so much if he's skinny?
He's a professional eater. He does this for a living. He's not just the hot dogs. He does everything that he can think of. Like he'll do all the different types
yeah,
of.
I know
content.
He does.
So he has to train for that. It's not just something he just doesn't get up there and be like, I'm going to eat 75.
No, he's just born with a big stomach.
No.
Yeah,
no.
That's all it is. Born
it is
with a big stomach.
100%.
He's too skinny to have eaten everything.
That doesn't matter.
All right, coming up next, it was just the 4th of July, and John, technically it was July the 3rd that it happened, but it was the 60th birthday of someone that we've all grown up with. Do you know who it is?
60th.
Yep.
So around the same ages. No.
I'll tell you next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Boy, that was taking a segment off bashing Bergman. Sounded like more of the same to me. Hey, but what Morales was saying there, our All-Star Friday Night Extravaganza Wiffle Ball Bash All-Star Softball Game is free and open to the public. And if you want to get on our VIP list, text the word STAR to 40705. And we're doing Lie of the Day today. At some point, Ireland's going to tell a lie. If you figure it out, you'll win a spot in our Wiffle Ball Bash Home Run Derby. You'll compete against all of us, and you get two tickets to the Capital One Play Ball Park at MLB Live in downtown L.A., July 16th through 19th. Ultimate All-Star Fan Experience with something for the whole family. For tickets and info, visit allstargame.com. All that stuff is coming up for you. I'm looking forward to it. My question is, so I go to the batting cage over on La Cienega. Have you ever been? I think we went to that batting cage together at some point because okay. It's right up the street from the old station.
Okay.
And they've got the softball pitching. Is that what we're doing? Are we doing like regular arc pitching?
Yeah, so there's a wiffle ball contest that we're going to do first. That's going to be with listeners and everything. And then we're going to have a softball game.
And it's underhand arc of softball. It's not like Travis Rogers is not going to do like Jenny Finch.
I mean, he could if he felt like it. He's a good pitcher.
I don't want to see Travis Rogers doing Jenny Finch because I won't have a chance. So no. I'm assuming it's like a nice looping.
Yeah, it'll be nice and easy. Just think of the celebrity all-star game that's going
to
happen.
I am ready to tear it up. John, I'm sorry you can't be there.
What's that?
How quickly does he get hurt?
Mason? Yeah. Oh, he'll do something embarrassing in the first three innings. depending on where they put him in the field.
Yeah, it's true. That's a reason to be there. That's what Juan said. Juan said, play the field because, you know, you won't have any of those stupid Mason moments if you sit on the sidelines.
It's
so
true.
So I'm going to do it. All right, so, John, guess who turned 60? Tom Cruise turned 60 on July the 3rd.
Okay, what's his legacy right now? Like, if word association, I say Tom Cruise, you say what?
Biggest movie star in the world.
See, I still think it's the Scientology stuff.
Really?
Yeah, I think that follows him around more than anything. You want to hear something weird about I saw over the weekend? Mm. Tom Cruise has been married 3 times.
Yes.
Mimi Rogers,
yep.
Nicole Kidman, Katie Holmes. Okay?
Yep.
Wait, you think he's been married 10 times?
No. I think he's been married 10 years to each of them.
Well, no, well, that may be true, but, you know, in each case... He got divorced. He split with them when they were 33. Isn't that weird?
That can't be true of Mimi Rogers. She was older, right?
Yeah. Older than him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's weird.
They were each 33 years old when he left them.
See, I think, look, to
me... Or they left him, probably more likely.
Tom Cruise, The Rock, Marvel, Pixar, the only... You know, Tom Cruise and The Rock are the only two movie stars I would say can absolutely open a movie. Who else can open a movie, a blockbuster movie?
Denzel.
He's never had a blockbuster movie.
He's
a great actor, and his movies do well, but he's not... Denzel doesn't have a movie that's done $1 billion worldwide.
Denzel, that's a good question. Does he have a movie that has done... Like what Cruise has done.
Like, I think Remember the Titans probably did $100 million.
Did Philadelphia do $100
million? No, I don't think so.
Because it's too niche-y?
It's pretty niche-y. I mean, it's a beautiful movie. I love that picture.
And then Malcolm X didn't. Yeah, you might be right. It might be.
What about, like, Tom Hanks?
I don't know. Does Tom Hanks open to a $200 million opening?
Tom Hanks has had a lot of great movies, but like he's in this Elvis movie. It's not breaking the bank.
No, it's doing really well, though. It's going to do $100 million. It's not Top Gun.
Who could open a movie?
I think it's really... We're down to really The Rock and Tom Cruise. And by the way, Tom Cruise has got not one, but two...
Brad Pitt
Mission
couldn't
Impossible.
Do it.
I don't think Brad Pitt has a $200 million opener in him. Does he? I mean, it's very rare... You know, it's Marvel, it's Top Gun, it's, you know, Pixar, it's Star Wars, but that's it for opening gigantic movies. So to me, that's his legacy. The Scientology stuff is, which I used to be afraid to talk about, and I'm not now. You know what? It's a
kind of is what it is.
It is what it is. I jumping on couches and all that business. To me, biggest movie star in the world. I love Top Gun. Maverick. I thought Top Gun Maverick
it was, great.
Was fantastic.
And most of his Mission Impossible movies are great.
Yeah, yeah.
His acting is never in question. It's all the off-the-screen weird stuff
right.
that I think is his legacy.
Pre-slap, would you put Will Smith in there?
Oh, Will Smith was in that 100, I can open $1 billion
before
movie.
The slap, obviously.
Yeah, before the slap.
But you know, he was in there.
By the way, you know that the BET Awards were last weekend?
Uh-huh, yeah. They were right here.
And he won again for Best Actor, and King Richard won for Best Movie. So I don't know who picks the BET Awards, but the slap obviously didn't hurt him.
No. No. Well, it's a great movie.
Somebody says Keanu Reeves.
Oh, no. Keanu Reeves is in the category. Yeah, he's absolutely there. In fact, John Wick is coming out next March and will open to $200 million. So he's for real. He's got, the next John Wick movie is in March of next year. I love those John Wick movies.
How about Johnny Depp?
I don't think Johnny Depp can open one anymore.
But before that, let's say
Pirates and all that.
So
oh,
trial.
Johnny Depp Pirates for
yeah,
sure.
For
yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I think Keanu Reeves can do it. One time, you know, there's those junkets. I don't know if they still do them, but those.
Oh, yeah, they do.
So when there was a sports movie, when I was working at KCAL, when there was a sports movie.
Mm-hmm.
They would send us, they would send the sports reporters to the junkets rather than the entertainment reporters.
Right.
So one of you guys will know this. I don't remember the name of it. Keanu Reeves did a sports movie where he coached a baseball team.
Yeah, that was called Hardball.
Right.
Hardball, yeah.
So they sent me to the
junket. Don't test me on Keanu Reeves.
Okay, so they sent me to the junket. And you know those junkets, mate. You literally, they put a stopwatch on you and they say you have 5 minutes.
Yeah. And there's a publicist there, and if you say something wrong, they'll be like, he's not answering that.
So I did I asked like all the sports questions and the stress and I go, and I had like a minute left. And I, you know my impersonation that I do of Al Pacino?
Yep.
I said, I'm going to do, because Keanu Reeves was in that movie, The Devil's Advocate.
Advocate.
So yeah. I did my, God is an absentee landlord. He had zero reaction to it.
We ended up
playing the clip because I look so stupid.
Does he even remember this as a moment?
No. I go, hey, I do one impersonation of Al Pacino, and it's from a movie you were in. Tell me what you think. Because I was just trying to get something goofy out of it.
Yeah.
God is an absentee landlord. And he goes, that doesn't sound like Al Pacino. I go, it really doesn't. And of course, then we ran it into the ground on the outside. But he was, and I don't even remember Hardball. I don't even think I went and saw it.
I remember the movie. I remember seeing the world, the movie Hardball.
It was rated
when
it
came
G?
Out.
Was
no,
it?
No, no. It had Baby G was like one of the main characters in it.
Well, when
he died,
I know really sad. He kept singing this song because I asked him to sing it, and he did it. It had the lyric "Big Papa" in it, or "Big Poppy." I love it when you call me Big Poppy.
Yeah.
Like, and Keanu Reeves could do. I go, do you have that song memorized now? I go, do it. And he did it. And is this the song? Yeah, because one of the players on the team who I think ended up getting killed.
No, the pitcher. He's a pitcher that pitches well with the song.
By the way, it's G Baby, not Baby G.
G Baby, Baby G. You know. Yeah, this was the song he used to listen to. But yeah, Keanu could do it. Tom Cruise, we just did it.
Denzel's highest grossing movie worldwide was American Gangster at $266 million.
I never saw it. Did you?
It was great.
American Gangster?
There's a super scary scene there where they set that guy on fire. Do you remember this?
I don't remember that. I remember that from Man on Fire.
They set a guy on fire. The only highest grossing Tom Hanks movie, if you throw out Toy Story, which was...
Gotta be Forrest Gump.
Da Vinci Code, $758 million.
How much Forrest Gump made?
$677
million.
Wow. So all the Toy Stories have done well. Angels and Demons, $485 million. So if it's Da Vinci Code or Pixar, Tom Hanks is there. But I still think it's Tom Cruise and The Rock are the two guys that can open a movie.
Hmm.
Those two guys. So we've done this before, but I've got a list here of what Variety calls... Tom Cruise's all-time best performances. And
I'll tell you one that's probably not on there that should be.
It's on there.
Tropic Thunder?
Yeah, Tropic Thunder is number 6.
He's unbelievable in it.
Yeah, he's very
absolutely
very
unbelievable.
Yeah. Bergman, what comes to mind for you?
Cocktail.
Yeah, Cocktail is not on that list.
It was a great movie.
Yeah. Jorge, what about you?
What about the one he's a NASCAR driver?
Days of Thunder.
Days of Thunder is a good one.
Days of Thunder is good.
I saw it Saturday.
You watched it?
Yeah.
Is that how he met Nicole Kidman?
I think that's where they met, yeah. Uh-huh. Number one, according to Variety, is Magnolia.
Really? I thought that movie was goofy.
You did not like Tom Cruise in that movie? Remember he played the motivational speaker guy?
Yeah, I thought it was a goofy movie, though.
Oh, I love that movie. Paul Thomas Anderson, married to Maya Rudolph, whose show I still don't think is funny, but I'm watching.
I've now completely caught up on it.
Do you think it's funny?
I do.
You do?
I like it more.
You think
than
it's
you
funny?
Yeah.
I'm watching it. I love Maya Rudolph, but it's not funny to me.
Yeah, I thought that when she goes on the Hot Ones was one of the funny. I couldn't stop
it
laughing.
It was funny. It was funny, yeah.
I could not stop laughing funny. When she's like, motherfucker.
Yeah.
It's great.
Number two for Tom Cruise, Born on the 4th of July, who's nominated for an Oscar. Number three, Minority Report, which is a great movie. So good.
Like, none of the Mission Impossibles are in there?
Few Good Men, Jerry Maguire, Tropic Thunder, Top Gun, Eyes Wide Shut. I love Eyes Wide
Shut.
Yeah,
that's a trippy movie.
What's the movie where he goes back, like he keeps dying and reliving again?
That's there, Edge of Tomorrow.
I love that
Edge of Tomorrow is a super underrated movie.
Really good movie.
If you're looking for a good one, that's good. I heard they're going to make a sequel to that one. Collateral, which was him and Jamie Foxx, right?
When he's...
the cab driver?
Yeah,
or the...
and he has a gun and he basically holds the cab driver hostage.
Rain Man is number 10. Mission Impossible, number 11. The Firm, number 12. Interview with the Vampire, which I didn't like at all. And then Risky Business is number 15. So those are the top 60 years old.
You ever met Tom Cruise or been in the same room with him?
Yes, he's very short.
Yeah, that's the thing jumping at me too. I walked out of the Forum once. This is when he was married to Nicole Kidman. I walked out of the Forum with them. The two of them were walking out through the back tunnel, and maybe 5'8".
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah.
That's one thing that doesn't come across on screen. He's not a very tall guy.
The thing with him is, too, and there's a movie director who passed away recently named Peter Bogdanovich. He was in The Sopranos. Remember, he was
the Dr. Lorraine Bracco's therapist.
Therapist, yeah. Right. So he told me that the one thing all movie stars have in common is that they have gigantic heads.
Yeah. There's an Entourage episode where they talk. That's a whole thing. That Adrian Grenier, who plays Vince.
Bigger the head, bigger the star.
Yeah, they all have big heads.
Yeah, all have big heads.
That bodes well for me.
Yeah, true. All right, coming up next for you, guy couldn't decide what to give his buddy for a wedding gift, so he gave him something very unusual, and it paid off. That is coming up next for you. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Who is this?
I don't know. You sent it to us.
Oh, I sent it to you. I don't know what
I've
it
never
is.
Heard jiggle, this. Jiggle.
It's a TikTok thing.
It's a TikTok thing, yeah. It's a British guy going jiggle, jiggle.
Yeah,
jiggle,
they say jiggle. His name at the beginning.
Yeah. All right. So, John, wedding gifts are tough. Although, you know, I always, you know, I'm a big proponent of cash. I think that's what people ultimately want.
Yeah. Jiggle, jiggle.
Yes. Jiggle, jiggle. So, there's a guy who could not decide what to give his friend for his wedding.
Okay. Been in that situation many times.
Yeah. So, this is a guy named Vin Simone.
Hi, Vin.
He shared an image of a card he gave his buddy, and the cash wasn't exactly in hand. Simone's money was gifted in the form of a four-leg parlay on that day's Monday Major League Baseball action.
So the guy made the bet and gave him the ticket?
Gave him the ticket, exactly. Okay. So his buddy drew a little luck underneath the picks, which was apparently all Simone needed to put $50 in, and the bride or the groom cashed out for $600. What do you think of that as a gift?
Brilliant. Mm. Come on, it's like giving somebody a lottery ticket.
Mm.
What's wrong with that?
The odds of hitting a 14 parlay. How many other weddings has this guy been to? And he's given parlay tickets and they haven't won. We're just hearing about the one that won.
So,
do you think if I would have given Funch a four-way parlay ticket for his wedding, that would have been a good gift? Hell no. It loses and Funch winds up with nothing.
I went through a phase where I remember one of my best friends got married and I got him something off his registry and it was something that he never used. It was like some serving dish that I saw in his closet like 6 years later.
Yeah.
And never know. But I said, screw that. I said, from now on, I'm giving actual things that people will use and want.
Yes.
So I said to someone, I apologized to him, and he said, well, you're getting married next year. What do you want? And I go, Air Jordans. And he got me Air Jordans for a wedding present. Lisa got absolutely nothing out of it.
She got nothing?
No. He bought me Air Jordans. They were like $200, and he bought me Air Jordans, and that was my wedding gift.
Wow.
So
it's kind of selfish on your part.
I know.
There's really nothing for Lisa in that.
Exactly. Game. And Lisa, she didn't care. But
I'm sure.
I thought.
I'm sure there were lots of gifts and lots of money.
At our thing, I can't remember.
Your wedding was probably like The Godfather, where everybody walked in with a big
we didn't do the
bankroll.
Yeah, Lisa wouldn't do the money dance. I've tried to talk her into it.
The money dance is where you basically charge people to dance.
No,
with you, right?
No, you dance and they come up and stick money in her dress somewhere.
Yeah, I don't think that's cool.
Why? It's great.
Did you do
it's
it, Greg, at your wedding?
Yeah, I did. Absolutely did
you
the money
did?
Dance. Yeah.
Yeah, how much,
it was fun.
How much did she get? You know,
I mean,
remember?
A couple $100.
Okay.
Nothing crazy.
I know. It just seems
uncivilized.
Yeah, it seems cheesy to me. Like, give us more money. We already gave you money in the gift.
By the
way,
did you
give
see
more
that
money
one...
to dance with your wife?
You don't have to dance.
Did you see that one story I sent you guys about the British OnlyFans model?
Yes.
That, among other things, she's super quirky. But among,
super quirky.
Among other things, she's getting married next year.
Yep.
And she's charging the guests $120 a head. Doesn't that kind of defeat the purpose of having a wedding?
It really does.
I've never heard of that. Have you?
Charging people to get into a wedding.
Well, that sounds like about
that's
a head would cost at a wedding.
Sounds cheap. Yeah, basically it's the wedding's paid for, right?
Right. But I've never heard of you. Have you ever been to a wedding and been asked to pay? Other than the cash bar at Dave Singer's wedding?
Cash bar at Dave Singer's wedding. Classic moment. Yeah, no, beyond that, no. But she's also doing, where is that story? She's also doing something weird with her breast enlargements, right? Do I have the right story?
Yes. Okay. She is. She
I
had
didn't a, randomly pop
her
in.
Her breasts are somewhat famous. Like, it's a big part of her act.
Right. And she's on OnlyFans. And, of course, that's a big feature.
Yeah. She is taking out her implants mm-hmm. and selling them and asking $10,000 for them. Now, I realize we live in a world, and we've had this story on our show, where people were paying for farts in a jar from a hot girl.
Yeah.
But in what world could you justify paying any money for someone's removed breast implants? What in the world is the value of that?
I don't know. Is that... I mean, if you follow this person every day, so somebody's a member of the OnlyFans and they're paying whatever, $18 a month or $20 a
right.
month or whatever it happens to be. And you every day are looking at pictures of this person.
If this was someone famous.
From what I can tell, by the way, it isn't a bunch of naked stuff.
Okay.
It's just flattering photos.
Okay.
Well, I guess the idea of getting those
implants
would be kinky.
But they don't really serve a function. They can't be reused.
No, they can't be reused.
They don't. It's not like you'd be better off buying a picture of them, wouldn't
you? Oh, sure
you
would. Sure you would. Yeah. Well, I mean,
we've
talked about
a
woman that farts in a jar and sells them successfully.
And makes money. People will pay for anything.
Yeah, they really will. They really will.
What can we sell?
What can we sell?
What can we sell?
That's a good question, Lori. What can we sell?
Greg Bergman interview class.
Oh,
that'd be a great class. It's a master class.
Yeah, there you go.
Master class. Master class. Book guests with Greg Bergman.
Yeah, don't do them.
That's the slogan.
It's too hard.
Greg would walk in and say, okay, the class is over. Don't do them. That's it.
Yeah, you know THDB, right?
Which is what?
Too hard, don't book. THDB, too hard, don't book.
Well, yeah, like I'm not going to be able to book Tom Cruise.
We didn't ask.
Right. We don't ask for anybody anyway.
I remember asking for Al Michaels.
Yeah, that wasn't going to happen.
there you go. You're making my point. Somebody says Leonardo DiCaprio could open a movie. Yeah, I think he probably can open a movie.
Leonardo DiCaprio. Leonardo DiCaprio.
Among other suggestions, Daniel Craig. He did do the Bond movies, and he did Knives Out, which was a gigantic movie.
Yeah, I like
movie.
Daniel Craig.
They're doing Knives Out is now owned by Netflix, so the next Knives Out movie is going to be on Netflix. Leonardo DiCaprio. Ryan Reynolds is a good call. Ryan Reynolds, who's done the two Deadpool movies, both did over $700 million. Tom Cruise, can't forget about Leonardo, Marvel, DC, and that's about it. Yeah, I think those are obvious. Marvel movies... most DC movies, not all, most DC movies, anything Star Wars, anything Pixar, those all open and those all play. But beyond that, maybe the list is limited to, I think Would you add Ryan Reynolds to the list?
Is there a woman who could open a movie?
Not to $1 billion. Scarlett Johansson opened. Well, she didn't
it's
open.
It's Marvel, though.
Black Widow opened.
Right. That's a Marvel
Black
movie.
Widow. Yeah, that's a Marvel movie. That doesn't count. Who's the biggest movie star woman in
Meryl
the world?
Meryl Streep.
Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Meryl Streep is going to sell a bunch of tickets. She's
right.
playing like Queen Mary or Queen Elizabeth.
Margot Robbie.
One of them queens.
Angelina.
Angelina.
Salt.
She doesn't work at all, right?
Yeah.
You hardly ever see Angelina.
Margot Robbie? She absolutely can.
Margot Robbie is a good idea. Margot Robbie's a good idea. She's fantastic. All right. Coming up next for you is Jump Ball.
Are we calling it Jump Ball again?
The artist formerly known as Jump Ball. It is called Bobcat. Now, I have some advice. I think, you know, we always say Bobcat, you know, and we play that cat sound. The
Bobcat
always plays it. But I think it's been more like kittens lately.
It's funny how this comes up now.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
It's just so weird how it all worked out.
Piling on. All right, Bobcats coming up next for you. Bergman's going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hey, thank you very much, Chris and Amanda. So, Mickey Mouse is the latest beloved Disney character to be ready to join the public domain in 2024.
Wow.
Basically, that just means that anyone can use Mickey Mouse and not be sued by Disney.
It's like also, what happened with Winnie the Pooh.
Exactly like what happened. So, if you were to use Mickey in a story that was different from his regular lovable character, would you go the Winnie the Pooh route or of horror movie or something else?
Mickey Mouse.
It's like 97 years, too, that he's been...
It would be great to see like a mafia movie with Mickey Mouse. Can you imagine Mickey the Don?
Oh boy.
Exactly. He made me an offer.
I'm very surprised Disney is like letting that lapse.
Well, I don't think you can. I don't think you have control over it. It is in the public domain. After 100 years, it's in the public domain.
Yeah. I don't think Mickey Mouse as a horror movie would work.
What about me? As a gang movie.
As a what?
Gang. Gangs.
Gang or gay?
Gangs. Not a gay movie. A gangs movie.
What about a gay gang featuring Mickey Mouse? Gang. Now we're talking.
Well, that voice, I've always wondered about him. Always wondered about him. Yeah, no, it's interesting that things do fall into the public domain. Now, somebody will wind up doing something with
Mickey.
A horror movie with Mickey Mouse. There's nothing more scary than the stuffed rat we grew up with suddenly turning into a killer. So, yeah, probably. But everything winds up in the public domain at some point. Mickey's next.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? I would assume that Minnie also goes at the same time, right?
I think Minnie might have come later.
I think they were...
Were they Steamboat?
Mickey was single for a few years.
Yeah, no.
You know what? That's funny because when I was at Disneyland, we were doing one of those drawing things in California Adventure, and they said that Mickey and Minnie were born together. When they were born, they were together. But they just never got married.
Wait a minute. What do you mean they were born together?
They were born
brother and
when
sister?
They were born.
No, they debuted together.
Yes, they were born as a couple.
Okay,
Bobcat.
That's enough of that. All right. So, congratulations to Mike Greer for becoming the first black GM in NHL history after he took the job with the San Jose Sharks today. The NHL was the last of the four major American sports to have a black GM. NBA was first in 1972 with Wayne Embry, Bill Lucas in 1976 for Major League Baseball, and NFL broke the barrier in 2002 with Ozzie Newsome. Greer is actually the brother of Miami Dolphin GM Chris Greer, which is pretty cool for the family there. But how much do you think this will help hockey integrate more, being that it happens to be a predominantly white sport?
Well, it won't hurt. And to your point, it is a predominantly white sport. That doesn't mean a black guy can't be a great GM.
Sure.
You know, think about it. The NFL is 75% black. The NBA is 80% black.
Right.
And white GMs do fine. I mean, the color of your skin, it shouldn't matter when they're hiring. I hope this guy does well.
Yeah.
because I think if he does well, they'll, you know, and the fact he's got a brother that's a GM in the NFL, maybe some people would try more African Americans in leadership positions, which is a good thing.
Yeah, so, I don't think it's
doesn't hurt.
It's not going to lead to a whole bunch of black athletes choosing to play hockey over basketball, baseball, football, but it's good anytime there's the advancement of a person of color into a leadership role. It's good for all of us. So yeah, good for him. I hope he does well.
Bobcat.
All right, what you got, Jorge?
Okay, so Max Scherzer was doing a rehab appearance in the minor league team, and he spent like $7,000 on a locker room feast that included filet mignon and lobster. On top of that, he bought everybody in the team AirPods.
Okay.
Who is the most generous guy that you guys know or you guys been around that is like Max Scherzer?
All right, I'm going to give you two.
Okay.
First one, Shaq. Shaq is the most generous guy I've ever seen. He walks into computer stores and picks up tabs for the whole family. The other one is Michael. Michael Thompson, if you go out to dinner with Michael on the road, and I've probably done it 100 times, I literally have to get him to close his wallet or else he'll pick up the tab for the whole table. So it's one of those two guys for me.
Steve?
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, don't worry. Hey, John. Hey, Greg.
I will say John Ireland's very generous. I've seen John Ireland pick up tabs.
Yeah.
I try to pick up tabs.
Both of you guys are very generous, actually.
You both are.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of somebody else who always... I don't have that rich friend who always picks up the tab. And I don't know Shaq, but I know he does all these nice things. So I don't have an answer. If somebody... I mean, me and John are the two most generous people,
yes,
I know. Michael Thompson, he's never picked up my check, but I'll assume that everything you say is true, and he's a guy who picks up checks.
On the road, he does all the time.
Yeah.
I looked over to the interns, and I said, Mason's going to say him. Because
you are.
Because you are, honestly. And also, John, you are, too, because every time we've gone out to dinner, you've always paid for everything. And you took me to a Dodger game.
Right.
To multiple Dodger games.
Oh, I tried to pick up the check at my own birthday.
You did try and pick up the check at your own birthday. Which I picked up. Thank you very much.
The company did. But
no,
thank
it did
you.
Not. I did not.
Really? You personally paid for my birthday
that was
dinner?
Personally for
wow.
me. Yes. You're
all
welcome.
Right.
Bobcat.
Put a check in your column for that.
All right. So James Cameron is currently, so we're told, filming both Avatar 2 and 3.
Well, Avatar 2 is coming out now in November, I think. It's done.
Oh, is it actually coming out?
Yeah, okay, it's coming out.
All right. Well, there's a report out there that he may not direct Avatar 4 and 5. He says he has some things in the works that he will want to focus on outside of the all-consuming Avatar films for those last two. I was going to say, shouldn't we get through the second one after? But shouldn't we get through the first couple ones after 15 years before he starts talking about other films?
Avatar: The Way of Water, directed by Cameron, will come out Friday, December the 16th. So that one is done. What he's talking about is not
4 and 5
extending the series. And here's the reality:
no, they're going to do 4 and 5.
They're going to do 4, but he won't necessarily be with it.
Correct.
It is now, because it came out from Fox, it is now a Disney property.
Oh, that's right. All right.
So does this make me weird? I've never seen an Avatar movie.
Well, no. There's only been one.
I've never seen any of it.
You didn't watch any of Avatar?
No.
It's cool. I mean, I'm not a huge Avatar
fan. I
know
Zoe Saldana is in it.
Yeah, did anybody love Avatar? I didn't love Avatar.
I thought it was good. I enjoyed it.
I thought it was good. I mean, it's really, it feels like animation to me, right?
Yeah.
It's a popcorn movie, yeah. Yeah, I understand it. It's a huge undertaking. It took him like 20 years to make the second one, so... he's a laborious filmmaker. I'm not surprised that he doesn't want to stick with it. I'm sure he'll executive produce and oversee it and story direct it and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I can see directing is all consuming. So yeah, I get it. It has been 20 years since Avatar came out.
Really? I wouldn't have guessed that.
2009. Isn't it
2009?
13.
Yeah, it's 13 years. 13 years. But a long time. I was in the ballpark. I was right there.
Yeah, you're close. Sure,
in the neighbor.
But like, what are they going to do? Because when the original Avatar came out, it was all about the 3D. It was such a different, crazy 3D. Yeah. What is so different about this one now? Like, what is making me want to go see Avatar 2?
In theaters only.
Yeah. Well, I mean it's in water.
You have
that's
to watch
that's the difference.
It's in water.
It's Avatar in water. That's what it is. It's called The Way of the Water. It's all these sea animals and stuff. You know how Cameron is. It's like, blue people flying around, playing with sea animals, that kind of thing.
So it's kind of like Disney Earth.
This is the summary, by the way. This was the pitch in the room.
Yeah.
So, okay. So animals, blue people around. Playing with sea animals. Sign me up.
I can't
Somebody
wait.
Okayed that.
It's gonna make like $200 million over the
It's gonna
weekend.
Make $1 billion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, which no, is... it'll make $1 billion.
Who's the star in that?
Just the usual people in blue.
All right.
Yeah.
Bobcat.
Blue people.
All right, so let me just scroll down a little bit here. UCLA and USC obviously left for the Big Ten, really hurt the Pac-12.
Yes.
Well, now there's a report that Arizona, Arizona State, Oregon, Washington, Utah, and Colorado are all set to move on to the Big 12. That'll be 8 of the 12 teams gone from the Pac-12. So what do you think happens to the conference now, and Stanford and Cal specifically, John?
Well, Stanford and Cal could always still go with USC and UCLA to the Big Ten.
Have to take them.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Big Ten won't have to take them.
Stanford is particularly enticing because they're private. And that, you know, they.
And they've got a name brand. Like Stanford is Stanford.
Yeah. I think that there'll be a place for. The Pac-12 to me is like the Keystone Cops. They can't get anything right.
No, there is no Pac-12 anymore. I mean, Pac-12 more or less dissolved.
Right. So, well, right now it's back to being the Pac-10.
Right, and they've lost the second largest media market in the country.
Well, and their biggest one.
Yeah, and their biggest
one. I think that conference is going away, and it probably should.
Or should they merge with the Big 12?
That's right, that was Greg's question.
Yeah.
Is if those all go to the Big 12, and then Stanford and Cal can go with SC and UCLA to the Big 10, they could go to, you know, to a different conference. The Pac-12, they could never get their TV deal right. That, you know, Larry Scott was a bobo.
Yeah, he was.
The commission, the presidents and the chancellors – you know, couldn't figure out how to run a network. Nobody's going to miss the Pac-12.
So what happens to George Klevkoff, the guy that just took over
George
for Larry
Klevkoff?
Scott?
Well, he now will oversee a conference that includes San Diego State and UNLV, right? Yeah. Those are the two schools that they're most likely to add.
I would add, instead of UNLV, I'd add Fresno State.
Except adding the Las Vegas market is a valuable,
okay,
more valuable than Fresno. There's no reason why Fresno State, San Jose State, some of those schools can't be in the Pac-12. But, I mean, now you're talking about a really second-tier conference.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically the Big West now.
Or the WAC.
It's the WAC plus the Pac-12
plus
minus
Oregon
the second-largest media market in the country.
And Washington State.
And Washington State, yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, bad
God,
conference.
No,
bad
that
conference.
Is not a good conference at all.
Bobcat.
All right, so I was running out of questions, so the last one I had that I didn't think I was going to actually get to is going to be this one. A tweet I saw get some pub over the weekend was about chocolate. The debate was between milk chocolate and dark chocolate. So which way do you go? Are you a dark chocolate person or a milk chocolate person?
I like them both. I think milk chocolate tastes better.
Get rid of one off the face of the planet.
Oh, if we're eliminating one?
Yes, you're eliminating one.
Dark chocolate's pretty good. I think I eat more milk chocolate than dark chocolate, though, so I would get rid of dark chocolate and keep milk chocolate.
I never understand that whole chocolate routine with, like, 98% or whatever. That we're 97% chocolate. If you look at those candy bars, the big ones, they're, what does that even mean when it's, like, 99%?
Additives and different things that go in there?
No, it's, like, 99% chocolate.
Yeah, cocoa.
Cocoa, right. So it gets bitter when it gets... I'm all about milk chocolate, man.
So you were...
Sign me up for some milk chocolate.
You were talking about how your dog... What are we looking for
We're looking for a dog cardiologist for Fredo, my puppy dog, okay, who's 6 years old and has congestive heart failure.
So Reagan, my dog who I had to put down last week, 5-6 years ago.
Yep.
We were remodeling our kitchen, so everything that was in the kitchen I put in the garage. And I walk out to the garage one day, and Reagan's out there, and I can't see what she's gotten into. And there is a tin of Hershey's cocoa.
Oh,
I can't even remember.
No, really?
She was able to get the lid off, and she ate about half of it.
Oh, that's got to be nervous, that chocolate and dogs.
So I called the dog hotline, and they said, yeah, you got to take her right to the hospital, and they got to give her charcoal so she can throw that up. Because I didn't know that until that day.
Yeah, dogs don't eat
dogs
chocolate.
Can't, yeah. Chocolate can be fatal for dogs.
Make them really
sick,
that
was
sick,
a long night.
Yeah, I bet.
And that's the last time I bought Hershey's cocoa.
Well, I mean, walking out the door today, Juan told me he just got back from the vet. He said congestive heart failure. I was like, oh, my God. Oh, God. So if you do know a dog cardiologist, so far the earliest appointment we can get is September the 2nd, which is way too long to wait. So if you know of one or if you are one, and you can see little Fredo, DM me at Venice Mace, MASE. All right, coming up next for you, the latest that Woj has said about Kyrie to the Lakers and the latest Shams has said about Kyrie to the Lakers. That's coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.